Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 14, Episode 2 of Das Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For January 17th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. The Last Jackson Hero. That's courtesy of Kyle Welch, and in honor of our guest today. But first, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Thank you so much. Yes, it is I, Miles, of Picasso's Gray period. Thank you to Ryan Unger for that very tasteful art, a.k.a.
Did he have a gray period?
No, so that's why we took liberty. He had a blue period, and that's the only one I remember because I was really fucked up during my college art classes.
There you go.
So,
and we are thrilled to be joined by the last action hero of himself, Mr. Dan O'Brien, a.k.a. Daniel O'Brien.
Yes.
Killer, a.k.a. Daniel.
This is news to me that I'm the last action hero. That's very exciting.
You are you're a fan of that movie.
I'm a huge fan.
Turned me on to it. It is very good.
Oh, you love Last Action Hero?
I love Last Action
Hero.
Oh,
my God. I could talk all day about Last Action Hero.
Let's do it.
Okay. Fuck
yes,
it.
Yeah. Fuck the news.
There was news. There's a lot of shit going on, but I had the biggest crush on Bridget Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
That's her name, right? Bridget Wilson.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
am I saying that right?
Sure. Arnold Daniel, Schwarzenegger. Daniel, what's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
This isn't the most recent thing, but it feels really relevant. As you know, a couple weeks ago, a bunch of your former coworkers and employees got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like a group chat where everyone was sharing like resources, and they're like, here's how you do unemployment stuff. Here's health insurance stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's this. Everyone was on top of their shit. And I look at my Google search, and it's, did an elephant sit on, crush, and instantly kill the Taco Bell Chihuahua? That was the thing that was the most important thing for me to find out.
I see. Yes.
Because that's where my priorities are.
And did you find the answer?
Yeah, it didn't. It's one of those weird false memory things where I thought at least there would have been a rumor about that at some point, and even that wasn't true. The Chihuahua died of a stroke. The Chihuahua, whose name was Gidget, it was a girl Chihuahua playing a boy, and
course.
It died of a stroke. And then
typical
dog stroke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it lived a good life. I think it was like 10 years old or something like that.
Wow.
And then I dug a little bit deeper and found that there was this big lawsuit because there was apparently at some convention these two guys pitched the idea of the Taco Bell Chihuahua dog to Taco Bell and then helped them develop it for years. And then saw no money from it and sued them and eventually won and got $35 million for helping them come up with this Taco Bell campaign.
The brilliant campaign of taking a dog that's so identified with Mexico and having it say, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Right, mm-hmm. A campaign where a lot of people were like, can you please stop doing that? It's very offensive.
That's some it's also real, pretty low-hanging fruit to me creatively. Right.
Some real one-percenter shit having a dog autopsy.
Yeah.
That they're like, what did he die of?
She. Jack.
Yes. I apologize.
She stood up to Godzilla, if you remember, in another commercial. So.
Yeah. And intimidated the shit out of
him. Could never get the Z piece, though, to win $1 million. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Daniel, what's something that's overrated?
I wanted to talk about method acting. I think it's very overrated. I'm coming to this because, did you guys already talk about the Jim and Andy doc
on
this show?
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, that drove me crazy, and it was really infuriating and totally unnecessary. I think that particularly stood out to me because Jim Carrey was such a menace on set when he was being Tony Clifton.
Right.
And the whole argument for method acting is that, well, it gets these really great results. Oh, yeah, did Paul Giamatti pretend to be Tony Clifton doing the exact same fucking performance in that movie and get like the whole like gag of Paul Giamatti also being Tony Clifton is that no one can tell them apart, and he didn't do any of that method acting stuff.
Right.
And
so who's better?
It's like exclusively employed by white male actors because it just seems like they're going to be able to. Jared Leto's going to get away with sending people condoms and dead rats on set, and Will Smith will not. That's just like not a thing that is going to happen because it's just easier for white men to be problems on set, and it just drives me a little bit bonkers. There's no method performance that I've thought was really necessary for whatever suffering went into it.
See, I always heard Will Smith was actually like the Fresh Prince on set. That is always somewhat obnoxious to me. I feel like that's sort of a thing that, I don't know, you used to be able to get away with, and now people are just like,
they roll their eyes when you hear about
asshole.
Method. Yeah. Well, now I feel like there's only a few people who, I don't know, like, I like Daniel Day-Lewis, so when he does it, I'm just like, well, whatever, bro, like, you're bringing it on screen, so whatever the fuck you gotta do, like,
I do too, and I saw him in Phantom Thread, and he's really great in Phantom Thread, but I also hear so many actors like Alan Rickman or Jeremy Irons, where they're like, you go to set, and you do your lines, and you say your thing, and, like, you wear the costume they tell you to wear, and I was like, all your performances were great. I could point to 1,000 Tom Hanks performances that were great that weren't method acting.
Yeah. It's true.
Hey, to each their
own. I do feel like Daniel Day-Lewis is like, so like I don't know. During Phantom Thread convinced me, okay, he's like some sort of next level actor. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was a different level of acting than I'd seen before.
Did you like Phantom Thread a whole lot?
I liked it. Yeah, I did.
I feel like the craziest person on the planet.
You hate it.
I really didn't like it. I also think I'm just in our climate, I feel like 40 minutes into that movie, I thought I wanted to scream because we're making another movie about a troubled, complicated white man genius.
Right.
And it just, I didn't stand up and scream that because Paul Thomas Anderson is still an incredible filmmaker and Daniel Day-Lewis is infinitely watchable. And the actress who I'd never seen before was incredible.
She
but I'm
was
still
really
just
good.
Like, you're going to make a movie about the fashion industry and it's going to be starring this like tortured genius, straight white male. I'm losing my mind over this.
Right. Yeah, I do feel like he was somewhat of a comedic character. Like, you were able to laugh at what a complete asshole he was. but yeah, he was a lot to take. And I would imagine being a method actor in that character on set would have been awful to take. And in fact, I heard an interview with Paul Thomas Anderson where he said that you couldn't, like, make noise on set around him because he was... he was in character as this character who, like, hated hearing noises. So
sets get pretty rowdy, Daniel.
Right.
do not break down that 1K light.
What's something that's underrated?
I wanted to say William Shatner's spoken word album Has Been.
Yes.
It's from many years ago. And the people I know who have heard it, we all agree that it's incredible. But just it's not the kind of thing that anyone will ever seek out. Like, I didn't seek it out. I found it because I wasn't a Shatner fan. I was a Ben Folds fan, and Ben Folds produced it.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of great guests all over this album, and it's just really beautiful songs with William Shatner's prose, and they do a cover of Common People with Joe Cocker, and it gets me in such a good mood. It gets me so amped every time I hear it, and I just feel like, give it a chance.
William Common Shatner. People?
Common People.
I love that song.
Yeah, wait till you hear Ben Folds, Joe Cocker, and William Shatner do it.
Does he just speak the lyrics?
He speaks the lyrics, but he's, you know, he's a trained actor, so there's so much drama in how he delivers it, and it's very rallying. If you think about what that song is about, just the idea of, like, this guy turning it into this, not turning it into, because it already is, like, an anthem for common people, but, I don't know, just hear it with his gravitas and Joe Cocker screaming, singing in the background.
Yeah.
Not Joe Cocker. Who am I thinking of? Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson. Also named Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into format.
Sure.
We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness right now, today, at the moment that we record it. And we'd like to open by asking our guest, what is a myth, something you know to be not true that most people believe?
New Jersey is an amazing and beautiful state. And everyone has been shitting on it for a number of years. I think a lot of times because people, when they fly into New Jersey, they fly into Newark, which is the smelliest and, like, most industrial and worst part of New Jersey. And also, I think people just really believe that, like, culturally people need things they can bully and shit on.
Right.
And, like, Jersey and Florida have occupied that place for my entire lifetime. And a lot of it just seems very easy and hacky at this point. Like,
right.
Jay Leno would make jokes about Jersey, and so people just assume, like, oh, okay, Jersey bad, Jersey
right.
garbage, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore comes out, and people are like, ah, yes, that is representative of that place. And as a, it was not clear, I'm from New Jersey. I'm not just.
You're
like
wearing a New Jersey t-shirt right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful state that contains everything. It's a really
multitudes.
Good microcosm of the United States, I've always felt, because I've traveled everywhere in this country, and I feel like we have, like, really great farmlands. We have no mountains, but still, like, decent hikes, and we also have cities, and we have great Italian food and great pizza and great beaches.
Such good pizza.
It's such good pizza.
This is funny because Howard Creamer, when he was on, when Jack was dealing with the fire, he's also from New Jersey, and we brought this up because I feel like the Valley has sort of a, like, it's sort of a parallel thing in LA where people who, like, moved to LA, like, oh, the Valley's gross. Like, how people in, like, who moved to the city in New York, like, well, Jersey, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you don't think it's, like, I'm like, what do you think about Jersey? Like, nah, it's trash. So it's interesting to think, like, there are people like you who you have the Garden State pride.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are just, like, ashamed of it. And do you think that's just sort of, like, of years of feeling bad about being from Jersey that, like, that it creates that, like, yeah, I don't like it? Or do you think, is there any validity to someone thinking that Jersey is a garbage state?
I mean, I don't want to call him a liar, but
if I may answer, as someone who's not from New Jersey but spent my summers there, I think it's like Dan said, it contains everything, and
right.
so it's really a matter of what you focus on. And
right.
so, like, so my family reunions on my mom's side would happen in a beach town called Ocean City, and then my dad's side of the family reunions would happen in Sea Isle, and which is, like, one island over. And Ocean City is, like, this just great town. It's like a dry town that has never, like, just had any of the Jersey Shore-ness that you saw in the MTV show.
Right.
Sea Isle, like, has
a little more of that
energy.
Yeah,
like, has a little bit more of that vibe. So it's like you can go from one island to the next, and it's you have two totally different atmospheres.
Wait, so is New Jersey your ancestral home? If you have these family reunions there, like, your family's from
just
Jersey?
Like, that's where both sides of my family would spend their summers. But
gotcha.
It's like my family's from Philadelphia.
Okay. I feel like I've never been, because Jack and I used to work together, and I don't know if you have this problem. I can never exactly pin down where he's from.
No.
And
no.
Like, I'll introduce him to
it
people.
Depends on the guest. He'll be like, yeah, I grew up there too.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? You were from Kentucky the other week, and I'm here.
I just introduced him to a buddy of mine, and I was like, oh, Brian, this is Jack. Jack, Brian's from Boston. Like, are you from Boston? Sort of.
right.
Well, because people from Boston will be like, oh, so where, like, how long did you live in Boston? I only lived there really for 2 years, and that does not qualify me as being from Boston.
Yeah, definitely
to
not.
People from Boston.
I feel like my whole life I associated you with Boston.
Yeah, because that's where I had a couple very formative years. Yeah. And
literally
I liked
a couple.
Boston. Yeah, literally a couple. All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. The thing that a lot of people are talking about right now is that the president aced his cognitive exam.
Yes.
And aced his physical exam. He is the same height and body weight as NFL quarterback Jay Cutler.
Oh, wow.
Tall, lithe, athletic Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Same frame, apparently, when you look at them next to one another. That would seem to be physically impossible.
Yeah. Well, I was worried, but then I saw on the internet that the president is big and strong and smart, so I could just check right. out now.
Yeah, there you go. No problem there.
But the president allegedly requested a cognitive exam so he could, you know, show all those people doubting him, the haters, that he is in top-notch condition and is, in fact, a very stable genius. And he got a 30 for 30, not an ESPN documentary. He got a score of 30 out of 30. And, yeah.
That means he's smart.
I was impressed until I saw the exam. It's like got a drawing of a lion and is like, what is this animal? And he has to name that correctly. There's one hard question where, you have to remember like a series of five words, a couple minutes after they're said to you. You know, if he could do that, that's
it's weird though, right?
Because
we were saying like the weight that he came in for his height, which is like, so they're saying he's what, 6'3"?
6'3", 239.
Which for a BMI score technically puts you just what, 1 pound below obese?
1 pound below obese. What a lucky stroke of.
Damn. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my friend Chris sent me that this morning. He was like, isn't that lucky? Isn't that amazing?
And is he even 6'3"? You know,
the internet still says 6'2". Like, that's still what the internet has decided he is.
Yeah, Google President Trump's height. It'll say 6'2". There are lots of pictures of him next to people who are 6'1", and he looks either shorter or exactly the same height as them. There is a picture of him next to Jeb Bush during the debates, and Jeb Bush seems to be at least 2 inches taller than him. Jeb Bush is 6'3". So, yeah.
6'3" is one of those reach heights.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like Charles Barkley was 6'8".
Right,
supposedly.
Right.
He was actually like 6'3".
They're like, nah, come on, baby.
Yeah. So.
That's why I think there may be a little foolery going on, sadly, with that doctor.
Yeah, it's interesting because the doctor, like we looked into him, he was appointed by President Obama. So it's not like he's Trump's crazy
like hack partisan
pal,
hack. Yeah.
Even though his name is what, Dr. Ronnie.
Dr.
Ronnie. Hey, Dr. Ronnie. Call Dr. Ronnie. Yeah, that does sound like a Jersey Shore nickname.
Well, Ron.
Yeah, Dr. Ronnie.
Ron, stop.
And
went to high school with her.
With Sam?
Sammy Sweetheart? Yeah, she's my
what?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was the thing that was like super embarrassing when that show came out and everyone was like, oh, is this what? Jersey's like, I'm like, no. Well, Sammy was in homeroom with me.
Yeah, I know her.
Snooki's my friend's cousin. Fuck. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Get you. Anyway, what super producer Anna Hosey has a look of shock.
What happened? Oh, she.
Yo, she just did
super
with
producer
her
Anna
mouth
Hosey.
Agape.
I thought that President Trump had resigned or something like that based on the look on super producer Anna Hosnier's face. And it was actually her response to Daniel knowing members of the Jersey Shore cast. There's also Eric Trump was on Fox News talking about his dad, how his dad is colorblind.
Yeah, because he can't be racist.
He's not racist. Yeah. That was not a cognitive thing. Got it. No. Yeah, he said his dad only sees one color and it's green.
I don't know.
Which would be troubling physically.
Yeah, this was on Fox and Friends, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
People in that meeting said some things about race and that people are calling him a racist for the last 5 or 6 days. I know you don't agree with that, but is there anything you could bring to this conversation you think is important?
My father sees one color, green. That's all he cares about. He cares about the economy. Right, he does not see race. He's the least racist person I have ever met in my entire life. It's total nonsense.
The least racist person.
Yo, come on.
Who's the least racist person you've ever met?
We were saying that. How can you even give anyone that title? It's right. Ridiculous. I think the only person that makes sense used to be like, well, Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
was the least racist person to live.
I know plenty of people that I don't think are racist, but even like to give someone that title just seems impossible.
Trump loves superlatives. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was voted a least racist person in my high school. So, like, I feel like it's something he would lie about.
Also, that would normally be, like, a president's child being like, he only sees green would be like an angsty thing that like the way they would criticize them.
Right.
But in
like when you didn't come to my baseball game, Dad, because all you're thinking about is money.
Yeah, but other things that he needed to nail for the cognitive exam include drawing a clock at 11. What is it? 10 past 11. 11.
Ooh, tricky you know, one, huh?
That's something.
Just looking at this quiz, it really goes downhill quickly. Like, the very first category is visuospatial slash executive.
Which sounds very...
It sounds pretty advanced.
Complex.
And then question number two, draw a clock. Question three, naming. What are these fucking animals?
Right.
Right. And what's funny is the guy who created that test, he's like a Lebanese-Canadian immigrant, and he was like finding it ironic. He's like that he's depending on somebody with all his like Muslim bans and anti-immigrant shit that, oh, like my test bailed you out, or you're trying to act like this test made you seem that you are the most sane and stable person. But he also points out that that test has its flaws, and it's also like, it just sort of, it's meant to do a basic, just be like, okay, your brain is sort of working, but it doesn't test like anything psychological or judgment or anything like that.
Yeah.
That guy who made the quiz is maybe the most sweetly naive person I've ever heard in my life, because he was interviewed and he was like, maybe the president will learn from this and soften on his immigration policies. Like, oh, buddy, no.
You think he's going to know you made this?
Cut back to the studio and they're just all like wiping tears from their eyes, laughing so hard.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's probably going to happen. Apparently, Miles, you were saying that Dr. Sanjay Gupta also spoke with Dr. Ronnie about the president's heart health.
Yeah, because apparently like in 2009, Sanjay Gupta had heard that Trump had basically started having these, quote, tests that are actually looking for the presence of calcium in the blood vessels that lead to the heart. And steadily up until this past week, when he had to perform it again, those numbers have gone up. And when they get to a certain age, that means you have heart disease. So Gupta followed up with Dr. Ronnie and was like, asking him about these tests, and this is what he had to say. Quote, it was interesting when I spoke to Dr. Jackson. At first, he said he had passed all the tests with flying colors, Gupta said. When I asked him specifically about that test, about the calcium, he did then concede that, in fact, the president does have heart disease.
Right.
They're going to be increasing medications, including cholesterol-lower medications, et cetera, et cetera. So basically what they're saying, I mean, one way to look at it is that he's technically within the threshold, a measurable threshold that would put you, say, technically that you do have heart disease.
Right.
But the doctor's saying, like, it's manageable or whatever.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I want to trust this guy because he's a doctor who was appointed by Obama. He's also a military guy, and the people who most benefit from having Trump in power are also the military guys who are actually running our country. But... yeah, like he was specifically asked. People were like, wait, so how is he so healthy if based on the diet that he eats? And Doc Ronnie was like, he's just got the best genes I've ever seen. He's the perfect genes. Genetically, he's the best.
It makes me feel like a crazy person, though, because like I also, as soon as I hear about this, it makes me start to question, is this doctor on the level? And that makes me feel like a conspiracy theorist. Because,
right, me too.
Because... if he had given me the information that I believe in my heart to be true, I wouldn't be questioning anything.
Right.
The fact
that
this doctor who Obama appointed was like, no, he's healthy.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. It's fucking weird to me too, man. These genes.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Let's just keep our eye on it. You know, obviously we're not hoping for him to have bad things happen to him.
No, not at all.
But
I just feel like, you know, is this doctor really measuring him at 6'3"?
Yeah.
I would love to get my stats because then it would probably finally put to bed that I am 6'2".
Right.
I
also, Miles,
that's grown
giant.
Since this morning.
Only 6'2"? I can't believe it.
I
want to have
shoes.
My dad spot check the president's height because that is my dad's insane superpower. Almost everyone.
Oh, really?
Like, every actor was like, oh, yeah, I saw David Morris in the subway today. Tall guy, 6'3". And, Dustin Hoffman, small guy, you could eat soup off his head.
That's
how, like, it's tall guy or you could eat soup off his head is how my dad measures people.
There's only two heights.
I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger at a Coffee Bean in L.A., and I called my dad about it. It's like, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, and before I could even say anything, he says, they say he's 6'2", he's 5'11". Yeah. And I'm like, fuck yeah, he is!
Yeah,
you go on the internet, and he's, like, listed as 6'2".
No, he's a short guy, yeah.
So get your dad on the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Smith also not, he's listed as like 6'1", 6'2". When you see him in person, he's not that tall. And that is, I could do an entire episode just about like celebrities who are taller or shorter than you would expect.
A new podcast where we gotcha celebrities right. on the tape measure. Like, hey, can we measure you really quick? Uh-oh, it's only 5'11", my man.
But yeah, I don't know. I want to believe it. I don't want to feel like a conspiracy theorist. At the same time, during the press conference when people were like, but his diet's so bad, shouldn't he have heart disease? That would have been a great time for him to say, yeah, he does have heart disease, but he lied and was like, no, he's just got great genes.
Yeah, because like all those test scores about his like blood levels, they're right. like doctors saying like this technically would put you.
So,
I don't know. Still on the up and up because isn't the president allowed to decide what the public is and isn't allowed to know about their health?
Yeah. I guess that's true.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, there's so much bigger shit. Like, I don't
know. Dan O'Brien.
But we see, what's funny is we just got hung up over whether or not this dude is 6'3 or he has heart disease.
Yeah. Right.
When we have so many bigger fish to fry.
Exactly. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. So Steve Bannon, this is big news. He was subpoenaed by Mueller, and everybody was like, now Trump's going down.
Now we got him.
But now apparently that has been changed.
Yeah,
to
well,
an
his
interview.
Lawyers negotiated with Mueller, and like now he's just going to go in and have a little interview with Mueller, which seems to suggest like that he's going to be open. Like, all the reports are that he's willing to openly cooperate and openly speak with Mueller. So I think it was like his lawyers being like, we don't have to do all this grand jury thing. Like, let's come in first, which is different because Mueller has been having a lot of those people come in just to have like an informal interview kind of thing to talk. So it's weird that he skipped right to subpoena rather than being like, hey, Ben, you want to come in for a chat? So who knows? I mean, clearly Mueller has a strategy, and clearly Bannon is also very cunning. So right. I'm sure they have that all figured out. But what was really interesting was yesterday Bannon testified in front of the House Intel Committee for like 10 hours. And this is like in front of Trey Gowdy, who's like Mr. Benghazi, and fucking Devin Nunes, who was supposed to be recused from this. But anyway, so he was there and he was basically not answering a single thing because his lawyer was like live tweeting the whole thing to the White House. And they're like, nope, don't let him say anything. Tell him executive privilege. And Trey Gowdy was like, that's absurd, like, and subpoenaed him like to get him to basically speak. But then Bannon's like, nah, man, executive privilege, which is weird because Trey Gowdy is usually doing whatever he has to protect Trump.
Right.
So clearly there was like a miscue where, you know, I guess maybe they all thought, oh, well, Bannon's completely excommunicated from Trump world. So now we can really grill him about this other shit. And clearly the White House is like, no. Don't. We're not talking about that.
But he still has to. He still has to talk, right?
Well, they were saying is like they can't make him testify because of this weird, absurd legal definition of executive privilege that the White House is using.
Got it. Okay.
So, but that's why, you know, with Mueller, he has to, like, that grand jury, like, if he testifies in a grand jury, like, he has to testify. So I think what he maybe was doing was thinking, I'm not going to say anything in this Intel committee where something can get out. But he's going to speak with Mueller. And clearly, look, if Mueller isn't satisfied with his answers, he can make him testify in front of the grand jury. So there are things at play that we still don't kind of know.
Is it cynical to think it doesn't matter because Bannon can just lie? I feel like we've seen so many liars and so many I don't recalls and so right. many, yes, I might have mentioned that in passing. That just feel like such dead
ends.
Yeah,
this is all very naive and stupid of us to even no, care about like, any of this. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, I'm just like, why are we even?
Yeah, you know, shit I think it could point. Be that if he hears something that other people have testified to be true, and he gets him under oath committing perjury, then he can use that to really get him. Who knows? I mean, clearly Mueller has another strategy, so we'll see. But yeah, it's true. Does it matter? Because I've definitely gotten off the Mueller as a savior train
right.
until something starts happening because I don't have the emotional strength to put my fucking hopes and dreams
fortunately,
in that
basket. We have a new savior, you guys, yes. because it has just come out as we record this hours ago as you listen to this, presumably. Stormy Daniels, the porn star who Donald Trump slept with back in 2006, is going to tell In Touch, or has told In Touch magazine that she slept with the president. So she is confirming it. Prior to this, it had always she had been denying it because of this, order or some NDA that she signed in association with the $130,000 that Trump's lawyer paid her. So now he's done, right? He's
yeah, that's it.
Done for.
He had an affair with his wife with. Oh,
well, his wife was pregnant with their son.
Yes. And he got with Stormy Daniels in Lake Tahoe. That's it, guys.
He's a goner.
I was going to stand by him with everything, but this is the final one.
Show.
This is it.
That's sad. xenophobia, racism is fine. Adultery?
I just love the two of them together, though, you know? Like the Melania and Donald was like, goals.
Oh, you still ship them?
Relationship goals. Apparently, a detail we missed yesterday that has been out there is he apparently chased Stormy around a hotel bed in his underwear. Just let that sink in. Close your eyes. Picture that going on. His buff 239-pound frame.
His just, Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Jay just, Cutler bod.
Just sort of glistening. But yeah, so this is clearly going to take him down. I mean, certainly the magazine, this is In Touch, by the way, is the one tabloid that is not owned by his friend David Pecker, who...
Wow. I like the emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Pecker. David Pecker, who is the publisher of like all the other tabloids, yeah. including like Us Weekly, all those OK. He apparently knew about this story and just spiked it. Fox News knew about the Stormy Daniels affair during the election, spiked it, did not break the story. And today, just it's worth noting, go to Drudge Report. His top story is that 20 years ago today, he broke the Monica Lewinsky story about Bill Clinton having an affair.
See, nothing to see here.
Yeah, so that is his main story, is that 20 years ago, he broke a story about a president having an affair. There is not a single mention of the fact that Donald Trump had an affair with a porn star on his front page as of this recording.
I mean, what if Obama did that? You think, yeah, he would get away with it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
He'd probably be cool with it, yeah.
Yeah, if he was with, you know, Mia Khalifa, and yeah, he cheated on Michelle. Yeah.
Right.
They would be like, yeah, whatever. I mean,
or if we found out CNN buried a story that Hillary cheated on Bill with Lexington Steel or something absurd like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Lexington Steel.
I do wonder if that would be good for her popularity. People would be like, fuck yeah.
Like,
man.
Yeah, go and get yours, Hillary.
So, yeah, keep an eye on that not being reported anywhere other than In Touch. Jesus Christ. So let's move on to some Benghazi.
Benghazi.
Seal is being investigated for sexual battery, according to TMZ, who, even though they are a tabloid-ish website, the reason they're able to be in business is because they have an insane legal team that vets everything they report. So TMZ is actually pretty reliable. But, you know, as of right now, it's just an investigation. You know,
he lunged at his neighbor and kissed her and groped her
right. In
an aggressive way, and was like, apparently the victim was claiming that he was like commenting on her outfit and saying that, like, you know, what does she expect? So
damn, Seal,
come on, man. I hope, you know, we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
But throw his name up there.
They were neighbors and she was like picking up a salad spinner that she had lent him, and it, like, that starch is the most wholesome thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is, and then the definition of neighborly, like, interaction.
Hey, Celia, I'm having that dinner party. Can I get my salad spinner back?
Oh, yeah. Come right over. Bebe.
Kissed by a bozo.
Bozo. I mean, that'd be good. I mean, as he says, we're never going to survive. We get a little bit crazy.
Just the Aziz story we talked about yesterday.
Can I pitch you guys something?
Yes.
Benghazi, : Aziz and desist.
Nice. Ooh. I like it.
Yesterday I was saying, we were trying to come up with title names, and I had one that was a little too jokey, which was a sleaze, I'm sorry. we're a very serious show, so
right.
We can't have the public.
Well, also, wouldn't
have
made any sense to anyone.
Yeah.
But so Jezebel wrote an article yesterday that was like the point that was on the tip of my tongue that we had to move on for time purposes. But the way the article is written, that is about, you know, the sexual encounter with Aziz and the anonymous photographer who goes by Grace. The article is written in a way that I feel like does not do the victim many favors. It's like almost intentionally tawdry. And I think a lot of the criticisms that I have heard of the article are sort of conflating the victim and the voice of the article.
Right.
For instance, there's this one part where they talk about, she mentions that they drank white wine and she actually likes red wine. And, you know, that's one of many, many details, I'm sure, that she gave about the night. But the writer of this article chose to put that in and, like, have that at the forefront, I think, presumably as, like, a literary device or, like, foreshadowing or something. But it almost makes it seem like the victim is complaining about this as if that's just the same thing or something. It just makes the victim sort of seem less trustworthy.
Right. I mean, it's – one day we'll live in a world where we just – believe women, and that will be enough. But we don't right now, which is why we need to do these thoroughly vetted investigative pieces. It's why Ronan Farrow and Jodi Kantor and Cara Buckley are going to take months and months to work on something. Like, Jack, you and I don't think we're telling tales out of school. You and I knew 4 years ago about the Louis C.K. stuff.
Right.
But we were never going to publish anything about it at the old place. And, like, I would even tell personal friends, here's this stuff that I know from a source that talked to me. And friends would be like, that's one person's experience. That's why three reporters had to go through and, like, anticipate every criticism you might have when they're breaking this Louis C.K. story. That's why it's not just me and you publishing an article somewhere saying,
Hey, you know what we heard?
Yeah, right. That's why that Louis C.K. piece was so strong, because it was like, and then these four women came forward, and here are their names, and here's what they said he did, and here are the dates that he did it. They build this airtight case because we live in such a broken society right now, and I don't think the babe.net piece is going to hurt the Me Too movement in any significant way, but it's not helping right now.
Well, yeah, it's allowed critics of the movement to like latch onto this thing as being like, well, you see where it's gone now, like blah blah blah, and like, yeah, I think obviously their worldview and their heart was in the right place in doing this, but I think a lot of people felt too that this article missed an opportunity to create a like larger discussion rather than just like a depiction of this event.
I think Eliza Skinner on her Tumblr, Eliza.tumblr.com, has a great article about this that's called "That Article Was Bad."
Oh, really?
Everyone should check it out.
Right.
All right. So check that out. And also, Eliza Skinner is just one of the funniest people in the world.
It's one of those things, like her piece, more like the telling of it betrays, you know, what could have happened. And I think that's true. A lot of people are conflating the two of like, you know, people were like bashing Grace or whatever. And then you find out that babe.net like found her out, like they were seeking her.
Right. That's the other detail. The story. I should have mentioned. Yeah. They reached out to her. So, which is weird. It's like, how did they know about that? Know to reach out to her? And maybe this was one of the things that was on the shitty men in media list or something. And that's how they got the lead. We don't know how they sort of got the lead, but they were the ones who reached out to her and with the idea to write this story. It's not like she came to them.
Right.
There are other depressing entries in Benghazi. Eliza Dushku accused a stunt coordinator on True Lies of molesting her and basically every female gymnast, including Simone Biles, was assaulted by this doctor who was the doctor for the women's gymnastics team. Apparently, he was first caught with child pornography, sentenced to 60 years, and then young women who he had, worked with in the U.S. Olympics gymnastics team started coming forward. And now it is up to 140 victims have come forward.
And it was crazy, too, because Michaela Maroney, who was also a victim, she couldn't speak, even at his trial, because she's facing a fine because she signed an NDA to stay quiet as part of like her settlement with this doctor.
Jesus Christ.
But then like Chrissy Teigen was like, I will pay for that fine.
Right.
Like, fuck that. And then USA Gymnastics were like, oh, we were not going to enforce they're going to revoke the fine.
Wow.
But
he's like so specifically tailor-made to be the worst person to have his position.
Right.
That's so insane.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to a happier story. Some California parents were holding 13 children hostage in a house that looks pretty small. I was just kidding. This story is depressing.
Yeah,
as fuck. But
he must have a good take.
No, I really don't.
Jack hates kids.
It is. Yeah, it's horrifying. I spent yesterday afternoon like touring the town because I had just never heard of it. It's
You went up to the town?
No. I should have finished that sentence. Touring the town on Google Maps. I'm just kind of getting a feel for what the town looks like
from a sky view.
Yeah, from a sky view, and you know, you can do the thing where you like go up and down the streets, and it's just a weird town.
I obviously just know the headlines because I was too bummed out by the headlines to know much more. They had 13 kids just chained up for years.
Yeah, kids are ages 2 to 29. The kids who are adults actually look like children because they've been so malnourished.
Right.
It was apparently part of some religious thing. Their parents were homeschooling them, obviously.
Right.
And apparently you can get a license to homeschool without getting a visit at the house.
But
it's a really dark story. The town is weird. I did kind of a deep dive on the town. Their biggest job creator is like Ross Dress for Less or something like that, but their second biggest is a company called Starcrest of California Industries. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Starcrest of California or starcrest.com, the stuff they sell is so weird. It like seems like it's a shell company for some like weird religious cult. There's a family fun page, and the products that they sell are Jax.
Yeah.
the game with
like the old metal
things that
your grandpa used to step on and be like, damn it.
This website is 10,000% haunted by a baby ghost.
It's
a child
so
ghost.
Crazy. A puzzle and one CD.
Kate Smith,
the Belle of the South or something.
Songbird of the South.
Songbird of the South. So it's just, I don't know. I'm really interested in this town now. That's a guilty pleasure. I'm definitely not saying the town is, a haunted, you know, shell for a religious cult, that is like Children of the Corn style, you know, just people hiding inside their houses waiting for you to ring their doorbell so they can like cut your throat. But, it's just interesting. Give it a look on Google Maps.
It's like a lot,
There's like nobody's in the streets. There are no cars on the streets, which might just be how Google Maps works. But I feel like I always, when I look at my street, there's always cars.
Well, if you do Street View, for sure, you can easily catch cars driving around.
But it just looks like an abandoned town. Like beautiful. There's like lots of beautiful nature.
Yeah, it looks peaceful because no one is real that lives there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely buying this puzzle though.
Yeah. That puzzle looks great.
I mean, I'm looking on the garden and tools section, and this Handy Jack extra hold tape for $8 looks like quite a steal.
They sell battery testers, like those old battery testers from like the mid 90s.
Yeah. It looks like backs, like old dead stock stuff from the 80s that they just couldn't sell.
I'm obsessed with this now because this puzzle that I'm buying three of is called Back in the Good Old Days Puzzle, and it's designed to remind you of a simpler time. And it's a person whose face you can't see. They're at a grocery store where there is no cashier and just like animals running around on the floor.
you know, the good old days.
Good old days.
So this company that we're looking at that like sells a bunch of products that nobody has bought in 40 years, is the number two employer. It employs 1,000 people in this town, Starcrest of California. What's going on, Starcrest? Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. I don't know who's buying their insane products like the Owl Stretch Ring Watch or the Crystal Expansion Watch. It's very odd. Yeah. I would do some investigating.
All right. Miles, things aren't going so well for the GOP in the, you know, liberal strongholds of Iowa and Wisconsin.
Western Iowa. Yeah, so Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, who are the senators for Iowa, they did their, like, annual tour where they go to, like, the 99 counties of Iowa. So naturally they stop off in, like, rural Iowa because it's probably going to be some little, you know, town halls won't be very charged. But, did they get a surprise, because at Chuck Grassley's they were like – the people were sincerely asking. He was in a county that had their Republican registration. They outnumbered Democrats 2-1, and Trump won it by 35 points. So he's in like Trump country.
Right.
And these older white voters were there to take basically Grassley to task and be like, what do you think? Like, do you think he's mentally stable? And he's like, well, it's not my job to know. And they're like, well, you know, like, what's going on? We feel like you're obstructing the Russia investigation. Like, he was getting questions that were like, you thought Indivisible was there being like, hey, okay, this is how you're going to ask him. Right. And this was seemingly completely disorganized, an organic sort of pushback from voters. Then Joni Ernst, she doesn't do a good job either. She's at a town hall meeting and they are pressing her. Like, these are Trump voters. This one woman asks her, like, yo, his xenophobia and racism is, like, basically making our country look bad. And, like, I feel like other countries, we have really bad relationships, and he's not sticking up for, like, other countries. These are American values. And so this is what Joni Ernst's reply is when saying our standing is tarnished and we're not sticking up for little countries.
He is standing up for a lot of the countries where we have seen
Could you name a few?
Yeah, you bet.
Norway
is one of them.
Oh, boy.
The room just, like, laughs at her.
They laughed at her. I mean, for real, though. Really.
She was saying he's standing up for a lot of countries around the world.
Right.
And that her answer was Norway.
Yeah.
You can just hear the, like, nervous breakdown creeping up in her voice.
She knew, like, this is an indefensible
position. She knows
position.
It's a bad answer. Her brain's like, Hold on. And Matt's like, I'll take it from here.
Right.
So I got this.
That is not a good sign, especially with Democrats trying to take back the House in this year in midterms. Like, when you have people in these, like, really solidly rural areas being, like, talking like this, or, if, for example, in Wisconsin, a Democrat won a state Senate seat from a really well-known Republican, which was another big shock. Like, even Scott Walker, the governor, was like, whoa, what's going on? Like,
yeah,
it's definitely causing a panic. So off of that, right, there's all these like weird, unexpected Democratic pickups. There's some momentum going. There's a Washington Post article talking about sort of Trump, like looking at 2018, and in discussions about like, you know, are they nervous about the midterms? He basically brought up he's in this article, they say, quote, in private conversations, Trump has told advisors that he doesn't think the 2018 election has to be as bad as others are predicting. He has referenced the 2002 midterms when George W. Bush and Republicans fared better after the September 11th terrorist attacks, these people said.
So it's almost as if he's predicting a September 11th like event will happen between now and those elections.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, but the way it's being told, it's like, well, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I mean, September 11th helped out the Republicans in 2002.
Right. Is he predicting or is he hedging his bets and like hoping for a 9/11?
I don't know. Either way, that's fucking scary as shit.
It really is, because, I mean, his favorite person is Putin, or at
Vladimir
least
Putin.
Vladimir Putin. He speaks very, you know, admiringly of Putin, and Putin, you know, swept to power and really consolidated a lot of his power by doing a false flag thing where he, you know, bombed a bunch of apartment buildings, killed a bunch of Russians, and then blamed it on Chechenian terrorists, even though it was obviously like journalists have, you know, proven that it was done by the FSB, which is their CIA, essentially. So, that's always been a big worry of mine, is either what happens if a 9/11 organically happens, or if he makes one of those things happen because he seems like the worst person of those things to happen.
Yeah, because you think about even on the campaign, how he was like, oh, Russia, I'd love your help. Or like WikiLeaks, please show those things, like where you kind of suspect that he knew as he said that stuff. And then when you sort of juxtapose that with him sort of privately being like, well, you know, 9/11 helped out the Republicans. Like,
no, people are saying.
That's a weird quote.
Yeah.
All right.
Very Canadian bacon. Is that reference scan?
I think so.
I mean, if you're watching Comedy Central in the early 90s, because that thing was on all the time, but yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. We wanted to talk about the movie that everybody's talking about.
Yes, right, Paddington now. 2.
Actually, people are talking about Paddington 2.
They said it has like a near-perfect score. It is a perfect score.
But we wanted to talk about Pitch Perfect 3, which came out a while ago. But J.M. McNabb, one of our writers, pointed out there have been some articles that are suggesting that Pitch Perfect 3 is a, you know, military propaganda, essentially, that the U.S. military might have been involved in the making of Pitch Perfect 3, which sounded crazy to me as somebody who hasn't seen Pitch Perfect 3. Daniel, you have seen it, correct?
Huge fan of the whole franchise. Right. Second one was a little
the
bit
pitch
weak,
is back.
Yeah. Third one was definitely better than the second one, but they're all enjoyable.
The second one was pretty rough.
Wait, so what is the evidence you're trying to present for this conspiracy exactly?
Well, the plot of the first two movies were a college a cappella group doing a competition.
Right.
And now they're all out of college and they decided to form this a cappella, be an independent a cappella group. And the competition that they have this time around is to go to compete against other actual bands across a bunch of military bases to find out who is going to open for DJ Khaled in the broader, longer USO tour.
Oh.
And I didn't immediately think of it as pro-military until I read JM stuff, because you're not like going into parts of the world that scream very military to me. You're not in Afghanistan or Iraq or anything like that. It seemed like the tour was a loose excuse to get them to go to Rome and to get them to go to Spain and these very like vacation spots. They're not like
battlefield
action whatsoever. Yeah, there's no battlefield. But thinking about it, they're always on some different beautiful military base, and there's a bunch of hunky, well-dressed soldiers walking around being great and perfect and appreciative of this a cappella group.
Which is very strange. It's just such a weird turn for the movie to organically make on their own.
That's not even the weirdest turn, and there's some spoilers, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just say right now, spoiler alert, in case you don't want Pitch Perfect 3 ruined for you.
A mostly plot-driven film, yes.
So the always perfect John Lithgow plays Fat Amy's estranged father, who kidnaps all of the Bellas, and they have to fight their way off of his boat and then ultimately blow it up.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
It
became
an
action movie.
Film.
Yep.
Weird.
Cool.
Franchise has everything.
And like the soldiers are like the hunks, right? They're like the hot dudes, mm-hmm. the love interest.
I mean, if there's one thing I know, men in the military love a cappella groups.
Yes, oh yeah.
That's one thing they're known for.
So it's tracking for me. Right. I don't see the problem here.
That was like a legitimately confusing part, because they're competing against this like punk rock band and this like very large Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zero type band. And the Bellas feel very insecure because they don't have instruments. And they're like, no one's going to like us. We're not going to win this competition, which never scanned to me as a plausible conflict, because your group is the group full of beautiful women dressed scantily, dancing and singing, which is what I think a lot of these men want.
Gotcha.
But that's never
the
like
thing
they
from
never
USO
really
tours.
That.
Yeah. You know those famous USO tours where the Clash would come out and just like bust up all their instruments. That's very strange. But yeah, so this is not unheard of, right? Top Gun was mostly paid for by the US military. It was basically a, you know, US Department of Defense recruiting
joint
movie. Yeah. They because the one thing that is extremely hard to fake, and there aren't many of them that you can get your hands on that aren't owned by the military, are aircraft carriers. Those are those are the, like, you know, that's also how you measure a a military's strength is like, oh, how many aircraft carriers do they have? And most nations can only afford like one or two.
Yeah, so, you can't just get that shit on eBay.
Yeah, movies can't shoot on aircraft carriers without help from the military. Sometimes the military will just refuse to help, and they won't give a movie like any military hardware.
Or like access or whatever.
Right, which is difficult because, yeah. So, for instance, Independence Day is a movie that has a bunch of fighter jet scenes, and they had to do that without the aid of the military because the military wanted to give them some script notes. They did not want Randy Quaid's character, the drunk crop-dusting pilot, to, first of all, be a drunk former military person, presumably, but also they didn't want him to be the one who saved the day. They wanted a soldier to be the one who saved the day. And the the filmmakers were like, why don't you let us handle the climax to our movie?
Right, right.
And they were like, no, fuck that. So they withheld support.
That's such a
sadder
arc for Randy Quaid.
I know. But they also didn't want Will Smith, who's a Marine in the movie, they didn't want his wife to be a stripper, even though his wife is like a lovely character who is trying to, you know, work towards being a nurse, right?
First of all, girlfriend. Second of all, becomes a nurse, and then by the second Independence Day is like the head of the whole hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's worth thinking about when you're watching a movie who's paying for it, and whether there's any of military money tied up in there. We don't know for sure. Nobody has like found the receipts that say the Pentagon paid for Pitch Perfect 3. There are just a lot of weird questions.
Yeah, it seems like things were shoehorned in or like unnecessary, right?
Yeah, and they have been known to do this to children's entertainment before. There was an episode of Mickey Mouse Club which took place on a nuclear submarine. Pentagon memo said, this is an excellent opportunity to introduce a whole new generation to the nuclear navy. So that's something. Daniel.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure being here.
Where can people find you online?
DOB_INC on Twitter, and that is the only place that I want to be found. Even if you find me on Facebook or Instagram elsewhere, just leave me alone. It's not for you.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter only. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. You can follow us on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to all of the articles and source material that we use to research each day's episode.
Because we don't lie.
And we are going to ride out on that William Shatner cover of Common People. And that's going to do it for today, I guess. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flats and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing,
because there's
else,
nothing
to do.
Else to do.
Things that you do because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out because everybody hates a tourist.
Everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath.
You will never understand
how it feels to live your life
without meaning or control.
And with nowhere left to go, you're amazed that they exist. And they burn so bright while you can only wonder why.
Rent a flat to buy a shop. Cut your hair, get a job. Smoke some fags and play some pool.
But still you'll never get it right. Cause when you've laid in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do what common people do.
You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.